Finishing.com, the homepage of the finishing industry, presents the Metal Finishing Industry Update Podcast.
Hi, this is Kate Miner with update number 193 for the week of December 20th, 2010. In advertiser news, Cleveland Black Oxide, located in Cleveland, Ohio, uses a black oxide finish to help ammo makers stand out from the crowd. When it comes to a discussion about small caliber ammunition, nothing seems to arouse controversy like the name Black Talon. Even non-gun owners seem to recall this 1990s Olin Winchester brand primarily because of its undeserved reputation as a cop killer bullet. The Black Talon was a handsome black-jacketed hollow-point round encased in a nickel-plated cartridge. It was popular with police as a defensive round just as it was with criminals and law-abiding gun owners. It was not an armor-piercing round, as some claimed, and it did not penetrate body armor. But for a variety of reasons, including some lawsuits and much negative publicity, Winchester discontinued the brand in 2000. Many thought the Black Talon was Teflon-coated, when, in fact, it was black-oxided. Cleveland Black Oxide was a primary supplier of Black Talons and still supplies a variety of black oxide-coated rifle bullets to Olin Winchester, as well as to a relative newcomer to the ammunitions industry, Crossfire Ammunition. Black oxide is not a coating, it is a surface conversion process that applies a uniform, consistent black color to metallic parts without altering their dimensions. Carbon, alloy, and stainless steels, brass, bronze, copper cast zinc, and cast iron can all be black oxided. For Crossfire Ammunition, black oxide gives their ammunition more than just a unique appearance. It has other useful properties for the shooter, including it does not increase diameter of bullet, it does not harm the gun barrel, it reduces barrel fouling, it does not tarnish, rounds can be left in the gun indefinitely, and reloaders can easily spot and pick up their empty cases at the range. To read the full press release, please visit Cleveland Black Oxide's World Link listing in the Job Shops directory. Here are excerpts from the NASF Technology Report for December 2010. Item: Ionic Liquid Solvents for Electroplating. We are all familiar with aqueous bath electroplating, but what to do when the coating you want cannot be plated from an aqueous bath? There are always molten salt baths, but they are messy, high temperature, and tend to produce hydrochloric acid fumes in voluminous quantities. Ionic liquids are a new molten salt plating chemistry without the mess. Ionic liquids are complex salts that become liquid below 100 degrees Celsius and are powerful solvents for other salts. Metallic chlorides can be dissolved into them, creating a plating bath of pure ions containing neither water nor solvents, with essentially no vapor pressure and no fumes. But none of these processes is ready for full-scale production, and they will obviously be more expensive than water. But they clearly can move electroplating beyond the limitations of aqueous technology, enabling us to plate with materials we could previously only dream of. This is a technology to watch. Item: Hexavalent Chromium in the Defense Department. SERDP-ESTCP, the Defense Department organization that funds the development and validation of environmental and health technologies, held their annual symposium in Washington last week, which included a session titled Minimizing Hexavalent Chromium Use in DoD Operation. Since the release in 2009 of a memo from the Undersecretary of Defense requiring DoD to minimize its use of hexavalent chromium, defense organizations have been working to find and qualify replacements that reduce or eliminate hexavalent chromium without compromising corrosion protection. Some of the worst corrosion environments are for aircraft based on aircraft carriers. NAVAIR, the Naval Aviation Organization, has completed a major evaluation of all the places where they use hexavalent chromium and all the alternatives that they have approved and put into production. But major hurdles still remain. Hexavalent chromium-free bond primers and gap sealants remain problematic for military use. So far, no hexavalent chromium-free paint system has been put into production for military aircraft. A major ESTCP-funded project has just been launched to evaluate non-chrome primers and develop a better approach to validate and qualify alternatives as improved materials are developed. Item: Upcoming regulation of nanomaterials in Europe. A few years back, nanomaterials were hailed as the great new technology of our age, funded to the tune of billions of dollars worldwide based on their promise of amazing new products and whole new vistas of materials science. Many nanomaterials and nanomaterial coatings have indeed been developed incorporating nanoparticles or nanophases to provide new and improved products from gas impermeable packaging to stain-resistant nanopants. Today, however, nanomaterials seem to be the object of worry and suspicion because no one is certain what potential environmental and health problems they may create. In formulating new environmental and health rules for nanomaterials, the latest European Commission consultation document has put forward a definition of nanomaterials that it seeks to regulate. Nanomaterial means a material that meets at least one of the following criteria. Consists of particles with one or more external dimensions in the size range 1 nanometer to 100 nanometers for more than 1% of their number size distribution, has internal or surface structures in one or more dimensions in the size range 1 nanometer to 100 nanometers, and has a specific surface area by volume greater than 60 square meters cubic centimeters, excluding materials consisting of particles with a size lower than 1 nanometer. Recently, the California Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment has sought to define a nanomaterial hazard trait as an intrinsic property of all nanomaterials that may affect human health or the environment. The NASF will be keeping a close eye on nanomaterials regulations as they develop, discussing the issues with experts and decision makers, and submitting comments as needed to try to ensure that they are based on scientific fact and objective risk. For more information on this report, please contact Christian Richter at CRICHTER@thepolicygroup.com or visit www.nasf.org. Well, that wraps up the podcast for this week. Until next time, thanks for joining us.